Law against Cuprum. S.A. de say they. Mr. Wise.
Good morning, Your Honors. Dave Wise for the appellant plaintiffs, John and Sharon Bau. As you can see, there's a relatively narrow issue on appeal here. The case was a product liability case tried to a jury verdict in front of Judge Pallmeyer. The issue is whether or not a ladder, it was a design defect only case, was whether or not the ladder was designed in such a way that it would fail under certain foreseeable and intended uses. The case proceeded to trial with substantial expert testimony on behalf of the plaintiffs, showing the forces and loadings that would cause a ladder of this design to fail under certain circumstances, forces and loads, which Mr. Bau was capable of expressing on the ladder by standing on it in a certain way and moving. And Cuprum presented expert testimony that its ladder was safe under foreseeable uses and offered an alternative explanation for why it felt the ladder had failed, causing his injury. So the case goes to trial, the evidence received, the jury gets the case, and shortly thereafter, as you can see from the record, the jury wanted to see the ladder.
The actual ladder, I take it, was all bent up. Was that in evidence, the actual ladder?
If it was in evidence. The ladder that we're – yes.
The exemplar ladder was constructed by Cuprum for purposes of just showing, having something to point at or whatever, not admitted into evidence.
Correct, as a demonstrative exhibit only, which in many product liability cases, one wonders why an exemplar product is brought in. It's just sometimes it's a prop, quite frankly. It's brought in to show what the ladder looked like in its pristine state.
And was that exemplar ladder that's at issue, the demonstrative, was that the same ladder that was utilized in the expert experiments, or was that like a twin of the other?
I believe there were a number of exemplars, and they were all twins. I think that Cuprum had presented evidence that it created ladders in accordance with the original design specifications of the subject ladder, and given the fact that it was a design case, the fact that it was a different physical
ladder. That stipulated? Was there any debate about whether this exemplar did conform to the specifications of the problem ladder?
I don't think that was disputed at all, Judge. So now the jury has this case, and certainly they're facing some complex expert testimony relative to what does or doesn't cause a ladder to fail under certain circumstances. And the jury requested to receive the exemplar ladder. And Judge Pallmeyer was recognizably concerned at first about whether or not to send an exemplar or a demonstrative exhibit back to the jury. And in fairness to Judge Pallmeyer, I think that when one looks at all the law about whether or not exemplars or demonstrative aids should go to the jury, one is really looking at whether or not it's argumentative, if it's continuing testimony the way summaries and charts and things like that sometimes are. And I suspect that with respect to in a product case, an exemplar product, you'll often find that if it's just being looked at, then the exemplar can be looked at by the jury or observed. Here's where I think the problem breaks down in this case and in other product cases where we see similar problems. There's an affidavit from a juror, which I recognize has been the source of some debate in the trial court about whether or not it was appropriate to review that affidavit and to the extent that it may be appropriate, how much, what should it be reviewed for. My take on 606B is that the affidavit is admissible to see if extraneous evidence reached the jury, extraneous evidence which would taint the jury's process. Not whether it, in fact, did. The affidavit of this juror, Willie Artley, does show that what happened with the ladder was what we don't want to happen with an exemplar or a demonstrative exhibit, is that they began running some tests on it. Now, we see some experiments by jurors.
How important is that affidavit? If we didn't have that at all and the exemplar had gone back into the jury room, would you be saying, based on what the jury had been asking when they came out into the courtroom, et cetera, that there's enough to say that this was reversible error, or do we need that affidavit?
I don't think we need the affidavit because of the questions that the jury asked, and that is, can we step on it? Can we stand on it? Can we use it and manipulate it? If there were no questions, they just said, can we receive the ladder, and the ladder was sent back, and you had no affidavit and no questions, I think you might be left in a situation with, well, how do we know they had any extraneous influence or any extraneous information in there at all.
But wasn't the district court judge entitled to rely upon the jury following her limiting instruction, and therefore it wasn't an abuse of discretion to to give back the jury?
That's a great question.
I mean, the latter?
Yeah, the problem is that what is the limiting instruction about don't reconstruct the accident? Because Judge Pallmeyer said, some of the lawyers were talking, well, I'm afraid they're going to climb on it. She said, well, I don't think that's reconstruction.
But that was your instruction that was offered, correct?
Well, that was an instruction that was offered to try and cure an almost insolvable problem at that point. And in fairness to the trial counsel who was trying the case for the plaintiff, drafting a jury instruction, to draft a limiting instruction on the spot, which is going to cover that which juries can and cannot do with respect to the reenacting or recreating an experiment with a demonstrative exhibit is going to be really hard. Because maybe the jury could go back there and look at it and do certain things with it. But on the other hand, they can't do other things, which would be standing on it, reaching, twisting, in a way that we now know what they did, which is what Judge Pallmeyer thought they were not going to do. And she thought that maybe she thought that instruction covered it. But as we've seen here and in other cases around the country, trying to understand, let alone a juror, trying to have a lawyer or a judge understand what is and is not permitted reconstruction of an incident, they may not have thought they were reconstructing it. They may have thought they were following that instruction. Maybe Judge Pallmeyer did, but I think that she's wrong. That instruction didn't even speak to the issue. She still thinks, I suspect, given her post-trial ruling, that they didn't reconstruct the accident. But it was.
The exemplar was used by the defense expert during trial, right?
Yeah.
Would it be wrong for the jury? Let's suppose the exemplar had just been admitted into evidence. Would it be wrong for the jury to handle it, step on it, try to duplicate what the expert had done during their deliberations?
To try and duplicate what the expert did, yes. If the jury, and this is where I think these experiment cases come down to play. I see my light is on, and I'll finish this up as quickly as I can, Your Honor. If the experiment is something that the jury is doing that's within the ken of the average juror, like we see the ones with a coffee cup, how much water is in it, see somebody, can we see them when we're sitting in a certain spot? If what they're doing, this experiment, is something that's within the ken of the average juror, then the experiment is okay. And they're allowed to do that and vigorously test the evidence. If the experiment, though, is something that's beyond the ken of the average juror, and this is where I think your bright line test would come down if it's anywhere, where you have an expert who says, here's how we loaded the ladder, it fails. Here's how we loaded the ladder, it didn't. Well, these jurors couldn't recreate that experiment. They didn't have the means to do what the experts did. So they're not really testing the expert.
Did your expert do tests that produced failure?
Yes.
Okay. Were those demonstrated for the jury?
Yes.
Okay. How do you define specifically the extraneous information that you think was improperly before the jury? Is it the ladder itself?
No.
Or is it the result of the private experiment? That is the extraneous evidence.
The result of the experiment. And that's why the affidavit.
So it wouldn't be inconsistent for this court to decide that it was proper for the jury to go back, or the latter to go back to the jury with the limiting instruction, but there could still be prejudice created.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And in fact, I think it speaks to that the jury did look at this latter in the well of the courtroom, the way I understand the transcript, and was permitted to look at it and so forth. And that would be something that was okay, again, that the jury's received that letter. But then going back, manipulating it, standing on it, that's creating the new evidence that wasn't introduced in trial. And when we're talking extraneous to the courtroom, where the evidence, the rules of evidence, the juror, or the judge, and cross-examination. And that's where the new evidence comes in. That's why the affidavit speaks to that and the jury questions speak to that. And that's where I think that the prejudice arose. Thank you very much.
All right. Mr. Maxey.
May it please the Court, David Maxey on behalf of the appellee. I think it's best just to start where he left off and just address his arguments. First is that we believe that if you take out that jury affidavit, it needs to be affirmed. I don't believe that you can find any abuse of discretion by this trial court to give the demonstrative exhibit to the jury without that affidavit that talks about the conclusions that were reached, what they had done on it. So I believe that if the affidavit is out, then we stop at that point.
Do you think there are any limits on what can be sent back into the jury room? I mean, this wasn't introduced. This was not, this demonstrative ladder was not admitted into evidence.
That's correct, but there.
So can you send back other things, you know, engineering manuals or what have you, that are not introduced into evidence, admitted?
I believe that the cases have shown that from the Seventh Circuit that demonstrative exhibits can go back to the jury room. Now, what those limits are, I would not say that this particular exemplar ladder would be excluded from that. because the ladder was an exact replica of the ladder that was allegedly involved in the incident.
What do you have in mind? The model of crime scene in terms of providing? I've got to tell you, if you ask me what's the difference between a real exhibit and a demonstrative exhibit, I would tell you one goes to the jury, the other does not. Do you disagree with that?
Well, at some points, the Seventh Circuit has allowed the trial court with the discretion to allow the exemplar exhibits to go back to the jury. If they want them in this search for truth, for their search of the evidence, they're concerned about something, they want to examine it, they want to look at the evidence closer.
Well, then the evidence, yes. But what examples do you have in mind?
Well, even in this case, the expert...
Well, what about other cases? What cases do you think are your strongest case for allowing demonstrative aids that were not admitted into evidence to nonetheless go back into the jury room?
In this particular case, I don't recall offhand which...
We've said that's okay, but it may depend very much on what the demonstrative exhibit was.
Well, in this case... There was a couple examples of where other district courts found that evidence that wasn't even involved, wasn't even at trial, was allowed.
District courts, you said that this court has done that.
Well,
I'm concerned, you know, if it's a little scale model of a, you know, construction site or something to show where people were, maybe that's fine. What are you going to do with it but sit there and stare at it? But if it's a ladder, if it's a Cuisinart, if it's, you know, something else that you start playing with, that inherently seems to be more problematic.
Well, within this district, you're absolutely correct. The cases that have allowed it are with, for example, a tape recorder and the tapes. They were demonstrative exhibits. The court allows it in. You have videotapes, surveillance tapes, where the court has allowed those demonstrative exhibits in.
That's evidence.
Yeah. No, they were actually not introduced. I believe they were just demonstrative.
Could you be more specific in what you're citing?
I'd have to
this court approving sending demonstrative exhibits into the jury room. We had 20 years ago. We had an in-bank vote that was 6-5, if I recall correctly, on whether binders of only admitted trial exhibits could go back to the jury. Okay. The idea that exhibits that were not admitted into evidence could go in would have been beyond the pale in that discussion.
If you don't mind, I'm going to grab my
Please.
Notes right here.
No, I'd like to know.
In the case United States versus Burt. Now, this was a case cited in the district court in our response to the motion for the new trial. The reason why it didn't really come up here, I guess it was not argued in the plaintiff's brief, and I apologize for that, for not bringing this forward, but in the United States versus Burt case, it says, it is today increasingly common to...
So this is a case you did not cite in your brief.
It was not cited in the brief.
All right.
I apologize.
Yeah.
It is today increasingly common to encounter the use of demonstrative aids throughout a trial. Demonstrative aids take many forms, including duplicates, models, maps, sketches, diagrams, computer-generated pedagogic aids. The decision to allow demonstrative aids rests in the discretion of the district court. We have previously upheld tapes and a tape player being brought to the jury deliberation room. That cites United States versus Hoffer, H-O-F-E-R. Likewise, we have upheld a district judge's decision to allow the jury to handle firearms. Well, that was admitted into evidence. In Salerno, we upheld the district judge's decision to admit into evidence a scale model of a crime scene and to allow the model to be brought into the deliberation room.
To admit into evidence. Right.
Was that one into evidence? Oh, yes. Okay. I apologize, Judge. And then in the United States versus Burt case, district court did not abuse its discretion in allowing excerpted computer chat logs with the defendant's names on them to be brought into the jury deliberation room. Again, I'm not sure if that was admitted to evidence.
That's just, yeah, that's the dialogue was, the extra addition was in essence the clarification of who the writers were, given
Correct.
The screen names that are often used in child pornography and child exploitation cases. This is pretty different, I've got to say. Let me raise with you, Mr. Maxey, a concern that I have. As much respect as I have for district judges and the work they have in trying to help jurors make their decisions as accurately and fairly as they can, the concern I have is, as useful as demonstrative exhibits can be, when one is offered for use as a demonstrative exhibit, the other side says, well, judge, can you assure me it won't go to the jury room? The judge says yes. The judge changes her mind. That prospect seems to invite full-blown battles over demonstrative exhibits that are usually very helpful for juries just to follow along with the evidence. And I'm very concerned about making it more difficult more broadly to use demonstrative exhibits if we were to affirm this.
But in this case, the jury did not do anything to this demonstrative exhibit, even if you accept that affidavit, than what they saw in the testimony. It was basically stepped up on the ladder.
How can you say that that was consistent reenactment of the experiments that the expert testified to when they didn't have the jury didn't have the benefit of the diagnostic equipment, the same kind of situation in which the experiments were attempting to replicate the occurrence itself? I mean, I think there's case law that says that you have to at least be able to replicate it to a certain degree of similarity as opposed to just taking it and doing your own experiment on the side. I mean, what particular portion of that which experiment were they able to replicate?
I would say this would come within the common experience of a juror, understanding, of ladders. People have seen ladders in their life. They saw Mr. Van Bree step on that ladder,
back up. I thought your argument was that it was allowable for them to do what they did because they were testing the veracity of the experiment offered by the expert witness.
That's one reason, yes. That's one reason that it could have been allowed. Another reason is that the jury can use their common experience, common sense. They're told that this ladder is unreasonably dangerous and defectively designed. They decide, okay, they want to look at the ladder. They want to step on it, see what it looks, how it feels.
That's the whole problem. I mean, during the trial, these experts have testified about the ladder. Ladders, as you point out, are not the most mysterious of things in somebody's life, but they're supposed to go back to the jury room and decide, whose account about the soundness of the design of this ladder is persuasive to them. They're not supposed to bounce up and down the ladder and say, well, I jumped in the third step and it seemed pretty solid to me, or, boy, I felt it wobble, or, whatever. We don't know what they were thinking.
And that's right. And we also don't know that they were jumping up and down. I mean, he said that they
climbed
the ladder.
There's a risk that they would once the ladder's in there. I guess we have so much that we do to control the evidence that goes before a jury. That's why we have a whole set of federal rules of evidence. It's why we have the almost rituals that we have, and this just seems like a big hole in the dike.
But even given that affidavit, it doesn't show that they did anything more than step on the ladder and reach on it and just kind of feel it for stability and whether it was intact. And that seems to be what they were searching for. They wanted to just see how that ladder actually operated.
But doesn't that rise beyond just a critical examination of a demonstrative exhibit? They're actually creating new impressions in their own experiment. I understand that it's been at times appropriate for the jury to replicate an experiment to test the credibility or veracity of somebody who sponsored that exhibit. But I don't see how you could say that that's what they were doing here with the only access they have was to the ladder and none of the other equipment. What they did wasn't put before the adversarial process. So how can you say that it was appropriately that was improper behavior for them to engage in?
I would say that it was put before because there was testimony about that he got up on the ladder. So if that was the testimony at trial, Mr. Van Bree got up on that ladder in front of them. So it's consistent with what evidence they saw with the use of that exemplar. They did not go beyond that. They got on the ladder. And so, therefore, they didn't create any new evidence. They just basically the other side, the plaintiff's side, was saying that this ladder is defectively designed, it's...
You would have agreed if a third expert had come into the courtroom and testified about the latter, that would have been new evidence. That would have been supplemental to the first two experts. So why isn't it similarly supplemental evidence if the jurors are doing it?
I don't know that they're just taking using their common sense, common experience collectively.
I think we have your point.
Yes, one last, and that's incorrect. And I would just, there is a dearth of case law in the Seventh Circuit regarding this sort of jury activity, whether they would take, experiment consistent with what was done at trial, their use of these exhibits. And the Sixth Circuit, I believe that Fletcher case, which was, it's just an unpublished decision, but it cites to a published decision, the Avery case. In the Sixth Circuit, and in the, I believe, the Bangart case also, that they take it, they allow the juries the freedom to look at all the evidence, to consider all the evidence that they were presented with.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Wise?
Not
much,
Your Honor, have any questions?
Questions? All right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We will take the case under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.